Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, welcome to the second part of the Everton Fan Focus podcast. We're not sick of each other yet. How are you, Mark? You okay?
So, mate, we've covered the off-field developments from last week. Yeah. And now we thought it's only fair that we talk about the stuff that's happening on the pitch.
Is there an on the pitch?
Talking about the stuff that's happened in the international break, because there's probably a podcast. Well, there is a podcast in itself about the stuff that has happened in the past week.
Yeah, there's going to be an Anchorman dust-up style with Koeman and his training team on side and the Republic of Ireland management team and their training staff the other side.
Yeah.
Come get a taste time.
Ronald and Erwin having a straightener.
Yeah, definitely. Keep lemon time. See what happens.
There's only one place we can really start, though, isn't there, mate? Seamus Coleman.
Yeah, oh my God, sickening. And really... really what's coming through is the quality of the guy himself, you know, what he does outside, off the pitch as well. You know, the guy's clearly a stand-up fella, well-respected, you know, and it's always the good guys that this sort of thing happens to. What a horror challenge. I mean, really, unprovoked, nasty, did not see it coming, you know, nasty challenge. Could Andy Starton not look that bad? I thought his leg actually came off. Do you know what I mean? It was a really horrific challenge. Really, you know, when we think about David Boston, we think about Luke Nellis for Villa, that type of injuries that have horrored us over the years, that was right up there. You know, I felt really sorry for him. And today they've said his operation was a success, thankfully, but, you know, long road back, and really did not deserve that at all. Really, a real shame.
A shithouse tackle, not for want of a better word. I remember Alan Stubbs calling Milan Baros, labelling his tackle as a shithouse tackle in the derby many years ago, and, you know, with it being derby week, it's probably relevant, but when you leave your leg in like that, but you kind of went full throttle on it to go through. With any sort of challenge like that, with the momentum, you've got the potential to do real harm, and you know, you've got to see from the stills, which... For me, I don't agree with the people putting things...
on Twitter.
For one, we didn't need to see the pictures, and secondly, we didn't need to see close-up replays and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I have a bit of respect.
Really X-rated graphic stuff, wasn't it? You know,
and you could all tell it was bad, and I could tell from people's reactions. I didn't watch the match. Admittedly, I just saw
instantly what Antonians were saying. The players' reactions, you know.
Within a couple of minutes, it was there in my face, and I thought, you know, have a bit of respect, but that's social media now, anyway, that's another one. It was horrible. Neil Taylor, bang out of order, he's probably going to get a free game ban, but...
He isn't that type of player.
It's just the timing of it, though, isn't it? Seamus Coleman, I'm not going to stand here and say I'm being his biggest praiser for the past few years. He's had an up and down time, but I do feel this season and under Koeman he's better. He's captain of his country, which I think tells you a lot about the lad.
Yeah.
And you know, it's ironic that the week before this happens, he's doing a lot of work. I think it was Down syndrome. He's doing a lot of work with Down syndrome, and that's just one of the things that he does. He's a highly regarded top professional.
Yeah.
Someone who's real grounded lad. You've only got to see what the likes of Phil Neville and former colleagues and current colleagues and not colleagues, just people who know him, have said about him.
He takes his responsibility seriously as a footballer, doesn't he? You know, he's not.
He does, and to see that happen to anyone is horrifying. It doesn't matter if he's an Everton player or any player. But it's really unfortunate, and he's going to be out for a hell of a long time.
A massive long time, a year or so. easily, but you know, his form was picking up. You know, we haven't had the Seamus Coleman of the Moyes years, where he was at his best, at his devastating best at times, you know. But he was getting back to that player, wasn't he, you know, recently. You know, he's been setting up goals and back again, you know, and getting his form back and looking the player that we all love. And then this happens, and it's just...
The last minute win at Palace
yeah,
was a personal favourite for me, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The kind of thing that was synonymous with him, you know, you'd expect 5 or 7 goals from him per season. Remember when he first came on the scene and we loaned him out, didn't we, and he was pulling up trees there at Blackpool, and then he come back and he carried it on him.
Yeah.
You know, to think we bought him for such a cheap price, but admittedly, you know, I'm not, because he's got hurt, I'm not going to stand here and lie and say I haven't criticised him the past, you know, 12, 18 months, 2 years. I have, but I've probably done that to every Everton player. But it was awful to see.
Yeah.
Now's not the time to be talking about Seamus Coleman's form. It's obviously his injury.
His injury, we just hope, well, he's in the best possible care and he's had his operations a success. So we've just got to hope that, A, he gets himself right, and that he, you know, his leg's okay and his health's okay, and then B, we get the Seamus Coleman back.
It's the mental side of it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's going to be wary of that happening again, isn't he, for certain?
Without a doubt, and you know, it's an awful thing to say, really. Brian Oviedo, you could probably say he's never the same player. We didn't see much of him before he got here, to be honest. You could judge him over Martinez's first season when he came into the team. He looked more than capable, didn't he? He looked a better player than what he kind of ended up becoming at Everton.
Yeah.
And he did become a bit of a favourite, but I think it's easy for us to say from the outside looking in, but he just didn't look the same player after such a horrifying injury. But the same could be said about Yannick Bolasie. There's concerns over him, isn't there? He's had a couple of operations, I believe. The time scales with him, it's
nothing nailed down, is there?
No, it's horrifying, really. You think, since Oviedo, we haven't had anything really bad.
No.
I mean, that was recent history as well, Oviedo, but there's been...
Against Scunthorpe, major. I think in the cup, wasn't it?
It was a cup game, and then to get two in one season, Coleman and Bolasie, and for us to be only in March.
And our team's
really bad.
Been hexed a little bit, you know. And two players, that's our right hand side, technically, you know, as
two starters.
And thing with Bolasie again, you know, that couldn't have happened. I don't, again, wasn't pulling up trees, but doing enough to get in the team and you know, linking up some kind of form with Lukaku, wasn't he? He was getting a little bit of an understanding going. And you know, it's always the way when a new player, they can't afford to get injured on a new club, because very rarely do they pick back up after it, you know what I mean? It's you need to hit the ground running and have a good season, and then you become at home. He's now going to feel alienated from the squad again, and you know, with Coleman once, but you know, but last year we spent a lot of money on him, didn't we? You know, and it's just whether he's ever going to come back, you know, and if he's going to be the same type of player.
Well, his style.
Because then it becomes...
It's all pace, particularly in style.
Becomes redundant, then, so if his pace is gone, you know, so it's a real shame, because, you know, he was a player I was excited about big time when we signed him.
And they're not exactly the youngest players, neither, are they? And, you know, they're at an age. Yannick Bolasie and Seamus Coleman is what you would label a footballer coming into the prime.
Yeah.
You know, the way they say that, you know,
absolutely, mid
to late 20s.
Players who can propel you instantly up the league. You know, and that's why he was signed.
Yeah.
You know, so
our thoughts go out to, you know, both Yannick Bolasie and Seamus Coleman, don't they? And
yeah, Coleman particularly is going to be devastated right now.
From the highs of Thursday to the lows of Friday night, it was just, I mean, our fella said the same to me on Saturday. He said he woke up thinking about it.
Yeah.
About Seamus Coleman. I think a lot of people who I saw commenting on Twitter did. And
horrendous.
When I woke up, and then as soon as you go on your phone, you're reminded of it again. I thought, bloody hell, yeah, that did happen last night.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just horrible, really. So let's hope he's back quicker than forecasted.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a fit lad, you know, he's a hard working lad, and with the right medical treatments and stuff, and hopefully everything there knits together back as soon as. But it's only a broken leg, which is good, which is not ligament damage, or it's not any kind of, you know, Achilles and stuff like that. Broken legs tend to heal better, don't they? So let's hope he deserves an early comeback.
Yeah, let's hope so. Our thoughts go out to him.
Yeah.
On the subject of the Republic of Ireland, James McCarthy, been a bit of a war of words brewing, hasn't there? Well, not brewing. Roy Keane and Ronald Koeman don't need any sort of encouragement to have to say, but Keane's previously, you know, accused Everton of overprotecting the players and making us out to be a bit like wimps, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then James McCarthy's basically gone there. He's not fit. He hasn't really played an awful lot for Everton. And then he pulled up in the warm-up. So, any thoughts on that, Mark?
So does that mean they don't look after their players? Or they're a bit, you know, they're even... So if we're wimps, are they reckless then? They just take injured players and try and get them through a game no matter what? So, you know, what's the attitude here? Are they looking to, you know... They've got medical staff who you would think is just as every bit as qualified as Everton's medical staff. So what's... You know why they clearly overexerted him, and he's got injured during the warm up. But why was he even in the warm up if he wasn't fit?
So just because of their one off games are so vital to them, they're prepared to take risks on assets that are worth £20 million for Premier League football clubs.
Well, absolutely,
in theory. You know what I mean?
100%. I mean, you know, that could have been very costly if Schneiderlin had been out for a few months or weeks, and we got the derby, and then we're left with no option other than Gareth Barry again.
So from being flush in that area...
To being down to the bare bones again, and they're going to run amok 4-0 again. You know, we need the energy and pace. I mean, you know, I'm already scared, mate. So,
We need engine, absolutely.
You know, my arco will be getting a call back in. You know, we need energy, and you know, McCarthy, they've been reckless there, haven't they? You know?
They have.
Or they tried to screw us one or the other.
Apparently Martin O'Neill then tried to call Ronald Koeman about Seamus Coleman, you know, courtesy or whatnot. I'm assuming that's what happens anyway. I'm assuming Everton have sent representatives over there to Ireland when Coleman had his operation on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Koeman apparently blanked the calls. Now this is media hearsay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think O'Neill maybe commented and said he's tried to make contact, but I wouldn't expect him to answer the phone call, though. If he's pissed them off in the past, or his assistant is publicly calling out a Premier League football club,
and its motives,
world famous manager, then why does he need to answer the call to someone like that? I'm sure he was the first to ring Seamus Coleman, and that's the most important thing.
Well, maybe he might see Troy Keane to keep his mouth shut a little bit more in future. I don't think anything will teach him to do that, but you know, it's looking stupid now, isn't it? Certainly with the McCarthy thing, Coleman couldn't be helped. That was just you can't vouch for another player's recklessness on the pitch, but McCarthy, they're just looking pathetic over there, aren't they?
So there you go, that's you told. So any Irish fans listening, we're not having a go at you or the Irish person.
Just Roy Keane.
A bit of disclaimer there. Just Roy Keane.
Yeah, I'm not having no.
You know, in terms of international football, Mark.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to who gives a fuck?
I am at my wit's end with this international football. Honestly, I couldn't give a fuck about it. If you pardon the French, which is ironically is international.
Just to clarify, these podcasts have got an explicit rating.
They have, iTunes. Yeah. Also, we can say that
we had to apply for that before.
We know the type of people we are. Yeah. They are the ultimate knife in the bullet, aren't they? You know, they're just. They kill weekends. They've been killing weekends for far too long. There seems to be far too many international games, and the games themselves are absolutely pathetic. You know, we're looking at there was a game, Andorra against last night. I think it was. I can't remember who they were playing, but they both ended because it was a 0-0 draw, a 58 game losing streak. Now, what are they doing in international? I know it's stupid, and you should allow countries in, but it just renders the whole weekend meaningless. No, let's face it, no one's asked about England anymore except for really weird cockneys and stuff like that stuff like that. I just don't know anyone who's ever gone to an England match ever. I don't know anyone. They kill weekends. You go on Sky Sports Soccer Saturday, they've got the B team on there because Jeff Stelling won't get out of bed unless it's a Premier League match.
Don't blame him.
So for me, they're just weekend killers. More than Mark has ever done. I don't know anyone who likes international football.
Just like that weekend before payday, aren't they?
In January.
Yeah, like you get paid on the Monday or the Tuesday, and it's like the weekend.
It's the weekend,
despair.
And you've got no money, and then you only get you have to work again for a week.
It's just pointless.
And then it's like awful because we've got a week in work, and then we've got the derby at the end of it, so we all know what's going to happen there. So it's like there's no good news for about 2 weeks.
We've gone from doing a podcast swinging from the lights.
Right, I'm now getting depressed.
Saying hate and swearing and stuff, but...
Do you know, like, what, international football? Because I hate it.
I don't. No, I don't. You know, I'll summarise it with this. If, as an Englishman, I get people say they're patriotic, you should support your country and all that. I don't. I don't feel nothing for England and watching the England national team.
No.
Don't get me wrong, I'll watch football, but I didn't watch that England game today. No. I had better things to do, and I didn't watch the England game the other night. Yeah. I will watch footy if I want to. I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And I like watching football, but international football, no. Not a massive fan. If you're going to employ people like Roy Hodgson and Gareth Southgate as your manager, then you're never going to get my interest, never mind my support.
Exactly. They're not capturing anyone's imagination with these safe appointments.
But, you know, I don't want people to be annoyed that we're just dwelling on this, because it's an Everton podcast, but
I
echo everything you said, to be honest. Well, I'm not going to go into it more, but it's just...
We're doing great on the pitch, you know. And they've stopped it, and now we're losing momentum, and it's all because England need to beat a team whose best player works behind the bar at the local pub 3 nights a week. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
It's true. Everton have had to announce a new stadium just to get Evertonians doing it. Most of the time, the bloody suicide rate's through. Usually we get beat and then have to dwell on it for a fortnight. That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Or if we're winning, like we have been, it disrupts our flow.
So, but they never come at a good time ever, so really... Put international football, play 10 games over 10 days over the course of the summer, and whoever has asked, go and watch them, because and keep it out of the rest of us while we're all by the pool speedos looking for transfer news, because I couldn't give a shit.
that's a great summary. There you go, FIFA.
10 games, 10 days, just get it over with. Don't drag it out over 9 months. There's even one after 3 games, you haven't even put your slippers on in the season and they're already taking you, you know.
Even if they've done that, 10 games in 10 days, Ross Barkley still couldn't get on the pitch for England.
What is going on there?
Well, I don't know, and I've just read the statistics there, his last 7 call-ups, he hasn't played a minute.
Now, in 2 years gone by, I would not have argued with that, but the guy is in the form of his life right now, playing above and beyond anyone in that Everton team, if you ask me. For me, he's different gravy all over the pitch. You know, there's players close to him, Schneiderlin, and I think Williams has improved a lot lately, and Lukaku, who's obviously stealing the show. But for me, Barkley's level has gone up 2 or 3 notches. So if there was ever a time that he was going to start playing for England non-stop, then it would be now. 7 games, that defies all logic. Considering the shite that's been put in front of him, Livermore, you know, gee, come on. What's going on there?
He didn't get up to getting the Euro 2016 squad, did he? And no. The games around that have obviously, internationals are few and far between. But yeah, today was his 7th time. This occasion was the 7th time. And he didn't get on the pitch. But for me, my opinion on that is if he plays for any other side from 6th place to 1st place in the Premier League, he's in that England team.
Do you honestly think John Stones deserves to be in that England team? He's done nothing to deserve a place in that England team, you know what I mean?
So people might say, well, Michael Keane's in, he plays for Burnley. Yeah, Gareth Southgate's trying to be a bit different and bring other players in. But you know what? That epitomises England for me.
Yeah.
And in a way, although as much as I want to see Ross Barkley do well for his country, I'm not that displeased that he hasn't played.
Well, it's keeping him for us then, isn't it? He's not getting tired.
He's been doing that well. If he went on for England and give it away a couple of times, some dickhead journo in London would have it all over the paper tomorrow.
Well, the manager would be making a
giving him a 4 out of 10 rating because he gave the ball away once. And then confidence is massive with Ross Barkley. And whilst he's got it, I'm not saying not getting on the pitch won't hurt his confidence, because it will, because he thinks, what am I wasting my time here for? But I kind of want to wrap him in cotton wool whilst he's doing so well and just keep him for Everton.
At the moment, he's in that mindset, the blue shirt comes on, he's not putting any of the shirts on, he's not playing for anyone else in England. So every time he's putting that blue shirt on, he's feeling good because he's playing well in that. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, let's keep him feeling good and let's keep him confidence high.
I'd refuse to put the shirt on if Gareth Southgate was telling me to put him on. So, yeah.
It's just unbelievable appointments. You know, but...
Current coach and apparently a nice guy behind the scenes, but
yeah,
I'm not just saying that because he hasn't put Barkley in a team. I just don't like the guy and I don't really, I'm not a big fan of England, but
yeah.
Barkley, it's wasted his time. They're the statistics, they don't lie. You can't get on the pitch. after seven call-ups. So.
And in the form of his life, well, fine. You know, they obviously think better of it.
Unless he moves from Everton, he's never going to get done in that England team,
no,
is he?
No doubt. He's already been transferred about six or seven times already.
He's playing some of the best football in his life, but...
Yeah.
Enough about international football.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Get, fuck it off. It's gone. It's over. Phase.
It's like... what's that programme where they put things in the bin? Oh, come on.
Programme where they put things in the bin?
Yeah, you know where you raise your, like, your subjects that you don't like? Oh, my God.
I can think of another programme that sums it up, and that would be pointless. But
yeah, this programme's pretty pointless as well. What's it called? It'll come to me. But yeah, if we were on that show, international football would be on that.
Oh, I know what you mean. Room 101. Mate, if we could get the whole international football in a box and put it in that box and flush it down, wouldn't that be
Everton good? Players getting injured on international duty would be second on that list.
Oh, definitely, yeah. There'd be a few other things I'd put in that box as well.
So, next up, Morgan Schneiderlin.
Yeah.
He's got a calf injury, but
you know what?
Hopefully he's been doing laps of Bramley Moor and he's getting back, because we need him on Saturday, don't we?
Badly need
him. We need him and Garner Guy, and I see him.
Sick of going there under strength, because they never get any injuries that lot, ever. You'll never hear a Coutinho pulling up this week, or, you know, Lallana or players who are playing well for them. But we always go there handicapped. Always. It'd be fantastic to go there with a full strength team for once.
I'm sure I read somewhere that Seamus Coleman hasn't played in the last three derbies because of injury, you know.
Yeah, you know, that probably sums it up.
Not saying he's going to win you the game. Like,
at half time, James McCarthy was having a really good game, I thought, in the derby at Goodison. And no. And just, it went completely under the radar that he went off at half time, because I think he got just didn't come back on, did he? Made the first half, and then Barry came on, and it went completely under the radar. I come on the big screen, Barry on for thing. I went, there you go, right there, and no one's even noticed the game's over.
Yeah,
and I know it's up to the 95th minute or whatever, but they completely overrun us in midfield from then on. We couldn't, you know, McCarthy was playing well, he offered legs and stuff, which is what we need for Anfield, but fucking hell, we cannot go there with Barry. We can't. Barry doesn't cope with Hull City midfield players who were knocking it around. Do you know what I mean? He's
not the way.
We need Schneiderlin and Gay in there, and Davis. We need energy, youth, and experience, which is what them three.
I think the way Tottenham pressed us, and the way Liverpool attack is similar. You know, interchanging. They don't have specific positioning.
Yeah.
Firmino, Coutinho, or Lallana. They move around. Origi's not slow, is he? You know what I mean? Gareth Barry can't be put in. He was like lamb to the slaughter against Tottenham. Admittedly, he was one of a few.
The same thing at Chelsea. Absolutely. It was a horror show. We cannot be anywhere near that first 11.
But then Gareth Barry played against West Brom and ran the show. But that's West Brom.
A team who was set up to defend.
Yeah.
Anyone who's setting up, who fancies it against us, and let's have it right, Liverpool are going to fancy it, like they always do. We need Schneiderlin's quality in there, positional, and we need Gay doing what he does best.
See, this is what we're going to come to a bit
and
later,
that's,
but
that's where we can get the confidence to push on then.
May as well talk about it now. For me, Jagielka starts again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about him in a minute. You've got Holgate. If he goes 4-4-2, Holgate, Williams, I agree with you what you said earlier as well. I think he's shown
a lot of fans still don't like him, but I think he's improved.
Williams, Jagielka, Baines, Garner, Schneiderlin, Tom Davis, Ross Barkley, Lukaku. For me, there's no question mark where you start Morales.
I don't know. Morales kind of fancies it in the derby, but he loses his head too much.
I know.
You know, he loses it too much. He should have, you know, we'd all love the challenge on Suarez, stick him on him after everything he's done, but he should have got sent off for that. He got sent off. I think he's been sent off, hasn't he, in the derby? So Morales likes them, but he loses his head in them. You know what I mean? We need Lukaku not to be anonymous anymore. You know, he's talking the talk now. He scored a terrific goal last night for Belgium. Really good goal. He's in the form of his life. We need him now to we need someone to step up. You know, worse at Everton teams than this have gone to Anfield and won. You know, Kevin Campbell 1-0, we always remember that.
I think
just want another one of them.
I think you'll throw Morales in for experience, because Lukman's been bombed out a bit, hasn't he?
He's gone off the boil a little bit, which is to be expected, but it's a bit of a shame. Morales then is but that and yeah, with Delafoe over in Italy, then he's the only option really.
Yeah, because Lennon's not nowhere near it. So
no,
that's for me a big decision. Whether he does throw in, does he think right? Davis is enough youth for that team, and enough. And plus, you've got to change it back, think, with Mason Holgate.
And no
one else is going to come in there.
I've got no worries over Holgate. I think he's a terrific player, and he's got pace, and he's got energy, and he's got presence as well. I think he's, you know, he's a big
one. And we'll need that against the likes of Adam Lallana and Firmino. There's no Sadio Mane. There's no getting away from the fact that they've got pace.
Flies around shit, mate. You need to have quick thinking players all over the pitch, positional. We need Schneiderlin, who's that type of player who can break it up in one instance and spread the play in another.
I'm already starting to sweat.
I'm sweating, mate. With those, mate, we are like the bird that they can't let leave be. You know what I mean? They're just all over us. And we can't say no, and then we end up tying our shoelaces and that.
I'd like to say we've had a few like that in our time, man, but we haven't.
I've never had any bird
that like the bears running the other way. But yeah, it's a huge game. We started on Schneiderlin then, and we've gone into the derby.
We've
completely missed out West Brom and Hull, but we'll come back to them in a second.
Yeah.
The derby's there, it's our next game. You hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them. We don't really want to talk a lot about them.
No.
But we're going to go on air. Looks like we're going to our new Place to Record podcast on Saturday to watch it.
Yeah.
Are we going to call it a studio? Or what are we going to call it?
We don't want people thinking we're famous, because we're not famous. I go to work every morning at 7 o'clock. You know, I don't want anyone thinking that we're above ourselves, because that's the last thing we are, believe me.
By no means. We're not flash. People think
everyone who does podcasts are famous. He knows who he is. I'm not famous at all. I don't feel famous. Industrial cleaning for 8 hours a day, but there you go. Exciting times, yeah. So we got,
and we will be with others, but it looks like that's where we're going to be.
You know what,
let's call it the cave.
Let's call it, yeah,
because that's where most Evertonians go on derby day.
Under the duvet,
yeah.
Or fucking behind the couch or whatever. Now, you know, yeah, let's call it the den.
The plan is to podcast live from there, and you know, straight after the game or whatever, or throughout the game, and a lot depends on what happens, though. People say you only do podcasts when you win, but
if it's 2-0 down after 8 minutes, then we'll go on.
Yeah, I'll be in the boozer.
We won't, but you know, we've got it. This is what I mean, they've already got us beat before we even get there. And we have to show balls. Look at United. I love the way United fans support the team away from home. I've said this many a time. We've got to go there and be ballsy about this now. Mm. We've got good players. You can hate them. You know, Lukaku, every team in the Premier League would have him up front now. So we've got to show that against them.
Yeah.
You know, does he want to be a real Everton hero here? Because nothing will stamp it more.
If Lukaku can do it against the defences in the Premier League, he can do it against Liverpool's defence.
They haven't got a defence. I know, but they keep getting away with it with us.
Anything from their front three or four behind, you know, and I'm talking the players who have named plus Coutinho, anything behind there, you can get at them and exploit them. James Milner's a reliable player, but the keeper's not. The two or three centre-halves have gone on the books. The centre midfielders, you know, Emre Can, Lucas, the Premier League players, but the players that Everton can exploit,
yeah,
on the day, Everton could go there, and I just hope we don't go and get overrun like we did at White Hart Lane.
I really don't think we will.
Mr. fucking whatever his name is, Klopp, on this, he'll be doing all the panto and
he'll be pandering,
but Koeman just needs to rally his troops, get Schneiderlin and Guy with the foot in, Williams and Jagielka at the back. For me, Funes Mori can't be near that pitch.
No.
And hopefully, you know, the lads who are Moss Barkley, Romelu Lukaku, whether it be Morales or anyone else, can just take the chances, because inevitably there will be chances for Everton.
Yeah, not half, there will be. And we don't need Koeman doing what he's done at Chelsea, that's sitting there resigned from moment one. We need him strong on the bench. You know, he needs to play his part here as well. We need a confidence about us that says, you know, we have to do this now. One day has to stand up to this lot at Anfield. And it's got to be soon, because you know it's not fitting in with the vision anymore of just getting smashed 4-0 there every time.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, that was us last season, the year before, and everything. You know,
well, last season, Mark, they had 41 attempts.
41 attempts, that's embarrassing, isn't it? You know, I think West Brom have had 41 attempts all fucking season. You know, they're getting that many in one game. You know, basically, how wide do we want our legs open?
So, we'll call it to an end before we get this
off anymore.
I've got the draw here, I don't know. You know what though, we all go through it. It's a roller coaster of emotions. And I am, now that I'm talking about it, I'm in my stomach. You can feel your stomach turning.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
And there'll be blues this week who can't sleep. Men, women, children, we all go to work, we all got school, we all get it in the neck, we've all got different experiences. But it is time. It's time we grew a set of balls when we went to Anfield, in your opinion, and in my opinion.
Look at the shite that have won there this season. Why can't City. We do that? You know, Swansea City, I think it was 23-2 won there in the cup. They lost at home.
Yeah.
I can't think, you know, they've lost so many.
Even West Ham went there, and West Ham took the lead a couple of times and got a point. There's been other sides, and we can't go there and bow to the panto that Anfield is nowadays and be like, yeah, we're just accepting it. We've been beat the past couple of years there, so it's acceptable for Everton to be beat by
Liverpool. No longer.
It's not. It's never acceptable. It never should be. And you know, I'm sick of their fucking smug faces when it comes to it. We've got a bit of light at the end of the tunnel off the field.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about a loft conversion.
No.
We're talking about on the pitch. We need to make that statement too. And we've got the players to hear these sides, but similarly to what I said on the podcast with Sean after the Tottenham game, it's a mentality thing, a lot of it, and we just never seem to do it.
We're doing the right things off the pitch, we're doing the right things on it as well, building slowly and slowly, but then there has to be that leap, and that takes a big performance, a big win, you know, like the United performance with Magnus' first season, that gave us the confidence to go on and have a really good season, you know. But there needs to be that Everton, when we drew 1-1 with Liverpool in 84, and that convinced Kendall. It was only a 1-1 draw, but it convinced him that we could go toe to toe with these, and then we beat them 1-0 at Anfield with Sharp. You know, that's what a great side needs, that moment. We've had the catalyst off it, now we need it on it, and we've got the players to do it. So, you know, Lukaku, do what you do best. Schneider, and you do what you do best. Give it to Morales, you play, you know, enjoy it. Link up with Lukaku, your international teammates.
So you've got, like, West Brom and Hull. We don't even need to talk about them, they were that convincing.
Oh, mate.
But you can say we only beat what's in front of us. There's seven goals scored there. We didn't even look like conceding against them too. So now, it's the impetus now going into the other games.
Yeah.
And we should be relishing going to Anfield and Old Trafford.
We should be there. Billy Big Bollocks, mate.
We're all past experience. We let it cower us. On the back foot.
Yeah. And we let that whole atmosphere cower us, and you know, and belittle us, and make us look weaker than what we are. Like you say, mate, we've won them games, right? We haven't won games like that so convincingly for years. We haven't. We've struggled big time. West Brom at home, you know, stuff teams like that. You know, we're now winning. We're
even in the times we were doing relatively well. It was a 1-0 or a 2-1. You know what I mean?
And that was just
3-4-0.
Look at that, our last 5-6 home games, all wins, 26 goals, something like that. We just, I don't know, Hull City played well. They didn't deserve to lose 4-0. But at the end of the day, we've got the quality to do this. The teams, when they're not playing that well.
If it was on Anfield, and I'd say, and the result against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Leicester in the cup and Tottenham aside, the past 3 months have been great for Everton.
Yeah.
We have been probably the best side. The form table doesn't lie since January. But if we were good as well on Saturday, I'd be a lot more confident. But it's just something about going there, isn't it? And it's just horrible. It's horrible.
It's basically what we worry about translates onto the pitch instantly. Now you think the players this time would be bigger and better than what our fears are.
Let's turn it on its head then.
Yeah.
We're gonna go there. And we're going to get the minimum of a point. We're going to go there and beat them.
And then we're going to beat United.
And we'll go to United and we'll do the same.
Because I'm not scared of Man United.
Finally, the media might think, hang on.
There's something evolving here.
Something changing, yeah. Because I think until it happens, we won't see that. Because we'll always be, oh, look at Everton. There they are.
You know, they're part
Sky of the Sky refer to the top half as the top six, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're level on points with Arsenal now, albeit there's games in hand there. But what will it take for Everton to be recognised one day? It's going to take results.
The next two games.
Exactly. It's going to take results on the field against these sides. Because no one's asked about watching us beat Hull 3-0 or
4-0
and West Brom.
It's not lifting any eyebrows, is it?
No.
But these two games, mate, I mean, come on, if you're Koeman now, you've got that team singing a tune for you. This is a real opportunity now to really say to everybody else, this is something special that we're building, you know. And you know, we beat them two games away. Everyone is going to stand up and notice that.
Four points minimum.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would take that all day.
There you go. There's your Liverpool and Man United preview. West Brom and Hull were comprehensive fit wins.
Yeah, great wins. You know, well, Hull City was a lot more difficult than what it appeared on the score sheet. But you know, we were never in trouble of losing or drawing. In fact, you know what I mean. It was just.
You look back to some of the others: Southampton, Man City.
It's a game. We've
the amount of goals we've scored as well, yeah.
You know, we've just absolutely smashed teams.
What's that do? Like Southampton was 3-0, City was 4-0, Bournemouth
6-3. Then you've got 3-0, you've got 4 against Hull, 3 against West Brom, and there's been someone else.
And in between that, yeah. we won away at Palace as well.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, as I say, it doesn't lie. Obviously, we're still 7th place in the league table.
But no one's looking
level on. Sorry,
mate. No one's looking forward to coming to Everton anymore.
No, not at all. And, you know, inevitably you've got to go to the places like Anfield and Old Trafford. The home games do run out. Beyond that, we've then got Leicester and we've got Burnley.
Yeah.
So you think to yourself, the catalyst could be here, Old Trafford and Anfield. And then you think, well, Leicester and Burnley, let's be honest, two decent sides, but two beatable sides.
Yeah, let's have it right, mate. If we could somehow muster 10 points for the next 4 games...
Oh, we're going now. Now that we've stopped being negative,
Lukaku's going to score even more goals. He's such a dangerous player. Do you know what I mean? We've got it all there to do it. We just got to have that belief.
The likes of him, no, it's so easy to go missing against the bigger sides, isn't it? Because you can blame it on the rest of the team.
Then is his ego? His ego's not going to go. I think he's in the mood to get his ego massaged, mate. The way he's talking and playing, he's feeling like the main man, isn't he? He's loving the fact that he's the main man. You know, I think I can't see him leaving for life, for me, honestly.
Like when you're walking the booze on a Friday.
Yeah, and you know, at the moment, Lukaku feels like Jimmy Conway in Goodfellas. He's walking in, he's giving the bartender $50 for keeping the ice cool. He's giving everyone money, $50 for the fella just for saying hi to him, you know what I mean? He's feeling great. He's that man that lifts everybody when he walks in. So let's hope his ego continues to want. And, you know, a winner at Anfield, mate, and that's him done. No, there's no more slagging him off, you know.
Kevin Campbell will still be.
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah. You know, we need Kevin Campbell. You know, that's what we need.
Take one of them right now.
Yeah.
So Lukaku is the next item on the agenda. To be honest, there's meant to be some sort of announcement. Yeah. And I say meant to be. It's Twitter talk, is it? Or he's been. I don't pay much attention to. To be honest, but he's been commenting again on international duty. Scored, didn't he? Last night.
Really good goal against Greece last minute, yeah.
I didn't watch it, but...
They were struggling badly. They were losing 1-0. And he brought the ball down, chested it, and on the swivel, smashed it left foot, and the keeper couldn't hold it.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm not an announcement, but you just repeat what you said to me before we started recording about Lukaku and about the announcements and why you think
there'd
be no announcements unless he was staying.
Well, I think if Adam has got anything to do with this announcement, then he'll be staying.
Right.
We don't see anything. You know, when players have left in the past and it's been Everton that they leave, and the club says next to nothing. Because what part of Lukaku going do Everton want to be a part of? You know, that's with the ambition in the club now. It's all pointing towards keeping your best players and attracting new best players with it. So I don't think if there's any kind of announcement to do with Everton and Lukaku tomorrow, he's staying. Because you look at how silent Arsenal and are being over Ozil and Sanchez, you know, the two players who are, for me, clearly off in the summer. Do you know what I mean? He's falling out. They're saying nothing. So if Everton have got even anything to do with this tomorrow, he's staying. Because I don't think Everton want to... Why would they announce that he's leaving? I don't get it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
And the press...
They would just keep it under hat, play it down, and then start him in the summer. There's no interest in them announcing that he's leaving.
The press almost announced that he was leaving in shape and the way.
They're absolutely desperate, aren't they?
Well, there's an agenda, isn't there? And there was an article written the other day about, you know, BBC and the bias. And Evertonians, it was, you know, significant when he came out against Hull. There was not a boo around Goodison Park. And in this day and age, it is a little pantomime, isn't it? Everyone doesn't read the papers anymore.
I think they see Everton as
the media thinking, oh, what we say is gospel. It's not.
It's not.
And I think, I don't know, to be honest. I don't want to say, and put my neck on the line and say, I think he's going to stay or I think he's going to go.
Yeah.
For the time that he's an Everton player, I just want to support him. I want to keep seeing him banging in the goals.
Yeah.
And getting the best out of him whilst he's here. Because I don't think any Evertonian could say, I expect Lukaku to stay around for the long time. Even in his first season when he came, I was really shocked that he did. And he's done an awful lot since he's been here. Look at his goal record. I'm a big fan of Lukaku. I get wound up when people criticise him. I can see why some do in certain occasions, but I honestly don't know. I'm trying to give
he's me a opinion, player,
but I don't know whether he's going to stay. If they announced tomorrow that he's staying, I wouldn't be surprised. If he announced tomorrow that he was leaving, I wouldn't be surprised. It's 2017 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I'm an Evertonian, so kind of not. I'm a bit hardened to it now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're indifferent. It's probably the best way to be because you get upset or...
Well, yeah, I mean, doesn't get away from the fact that I'd be massively concerned if he left. But I was...
Well, there's no one in this club who can do what he does.
You'd say that about a lot of Everton players and then
you
tend to get on with it. But Lukaku's different in terms of his age, his work, his goals. He kind of is priceless to Everton at the moment. But we'll see, I suppose, won't we?
Yeah, I haven't got anything to do with it.
Announcements.
We'll see. We'll just have to see, won't we? There'll probably be a favour in the morning about something happening at 11 o'clock and it'll be something that'll get us through the workday, but, you know, we don't know if anything will happen or not. If Everton got anything to do with it, I think he's just going to be staying.
Mm.
We're not going to want to announce the best player's leaving. One of the best players, you know.
If he keeps scoring like he does.
Because there's no one who can do what he does.
If he keeps scoring like he does, they might have to name one of the new stands after him.
Yeah, what a goal at Anfield, and that's a saving.
Imagine a statue of Lukaku down at the new Docklands Arena. You'd be able to see it from anywhere, wouldn't you? On the waterfront.
The big fella.
So there you go. That was Lukaku.
Yeah. So he's got a statue, or he's leaving. It's either one or the other.
There's no middle ground for us. Couple of other any other business things.
Yeah.
Before we sign off.
Yeah.
We've been linked with a couple of players. Some we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
One's a new guy. The first one is Brennan Johnson, who's 16. I think he's just turned 16.
Yeah.
Tried to look into it a bit. Someone said he was 15, but he's young anyway.
Yeah. He's not old enough to put the lottery on.
No. Or he's old enough to be on the streets.
He's old enough
2020. Trialing out, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it fits in with the, you know, we're talking again about money, aren't we? £1 million.
£1 million. It's Nottingham Forest, and, you know, various media sources reporting that we're in advanced talks, and they're citing Steve Walsh as the reason, which, as the head of recruitment, you would have him as responsible, but.
I think it's yet more cause to be excited, isn't it? You know, this is all fitting in with Unsworth and his budget, which again is something we've never heard of, a youth team manager having a budget of his own. He's going out and the best talent in the land, you would assume, are now just heading to Goodison. I mean, you know what, there's nothing to hate about that, nothing. It's so exciting to see Everton in this, acting this way. You know, this is what the big clubs do, don't they? You know, they come in and they take the best talent around. You know, United had this for years, didn't they? Just taking the best. Everton, it's great to see Everton so proactive in wanting to get the talent into the club that are going to be grown and nurtured and into Premier League. I think the remit is Champions League quality players, isn't it? You know, so exciting to see all this happen. You know, he's not a player we can get excited about now, but the intent and the drive behind getting him is something we can get excited about.
We probably said the same when we signed John Stones, Mason Holgate and Dominic Calvert-Lewin now as well, didn't we? Dominic Calvert-Lewin went under the radar. £1 million, weren't he, from Sheffield United?
Yeah, £1 million, and now he scored his first goal, which is going to do in the world of good. Forgot about him, mate,
to be honest,
we're not the only ones to forget about him. Match of the Day didn't even give him a mention.
Yeah.
First goal for the club.
And it was three young English players in the link-up.
In the Barkley link-up, and Davis. And it didn't get a mention. All it got a mention of them spiteful arses was trying to sell Lukaku, and I think the best one ever was to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Off Graham Lassalle. They might as well have dragged me in off the street if they wanted an opinion that idiotic.
Let's not get started on Graham Lassalle. But yeah, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's come through. He's there. He's in the first team.
Yeah.
Koeman's been pushing him since January. He then got that injury.
Yeah.
He's now got off the mark. Confidence world of good. Mason Holgate, ironically, we've already discussed, he's coming into the team at right back to potentially start in one of the biggest games in his career.
Is anyone remotely bothered about that? Because I'm not.
It was just a blink of the eye that he signed. Was it MK Dons we got him from?
Barnsley, we got linked to now.
Brennan Johnson, and people might think £1 million, 16. It's buttons. It's buttons in terms of the asset that you then own.
Yeah, but I mean, in their eyes, the nature in the next, you know, he's a shit house off the pitch, but the nature in the next John Terry, aren't they? The nature in the next England captain, you know, these players have got to come from somewhere, and to have them all, it just seems like the best talent in the land. You know, the guy from Germany, Donker, I know he's gone back now, hasn't he, because he's injured. It's absolutely brilliant to see the club so proactive in wanting the best youth at our club, because it's all painting towards a much, much brighter future.
So speaking of youth and bright futures, we've been linked with Michael Keane and Jordan Pickford as well.
Yeah, guy looks a player. Keane really looks a good player for England. He was playing tonight against Lithuania. I know it's only Lithuania, but he looks a really good centre-back.
Thought you didn't like international football?
Well, I watched it because nothing else was on a Sunday afternoon, but I was watching it. And Keane looks a good player.
Yeah,
actually, that doesn't fit well with my international football rant. But, you know, Sunday afternoon, it's either made or she rolls or footy.
Well, no, you can probably say the same though when you've seen him play for Burnley this season.
Yeah.
He's been a lot of our fantasy teams.
Different class.
We've been linked with him, but surely we won't be the only team linked with him. You know, United, Chelsea.
Arsenal are always crying out for
centre-halves. Everyone's always looking for a good English centre-half.
Yeah. Absolutely. So probably won't be the only ones. But you'd think, given our proactive approach to deals like this, that we've already got it in place, you would hope, you know.
You never know, and you think, you look at the two centre-halves who could start on Saturday, and Ashley Williams and Phil Jagielka.
Yeah.
We know the future isn't there with them, and it's probably not with Funes Mori.
No, so I think that's going to be the big change in the summer, is the centre-back area. He's going to want fresh, and he's going to want them in early, because you need your defenders in early, get time to work with them, get an understanding going, so we hit that ground running when the season starts.
What about Jordan Pickford? I mean, he probably didn't have his best game, did he, when Sunderland visited?
He didn't, but he done well. He's been impressive all season, hasn't he, though, for Sunderland.
That was another game we missed out before. We talked about the own games.
Yeah, Sunderland.
That was another kind of comprehensive one, wasn't it?
Yeah, an easy, but Sunderland one of the worst teams I've ever seen, along with West Brom, to be honest. Pickford's done well, hasn't he? You know, he's the young goalkeeper. Again, that's what people are after. Hungry, young, talented goalkeepers. Robles has done nothing wrong all season, to be honest, has he? Not really, in that context. But we need competition, and he's done well. So what? And I'm not asked, to be honest with you, as long as Koeman wants him, and Walsh sees him as you know, and they see him as a part of our future, then go for it, you know. And then Rooney's been linked again. So.
Well, they haven't been. Koeman and Walsh and that haven't done much wrong with the recruitment since he's been there, so I think they're the best judges of character. Yeah. So we can talk about paper talk as much as we want, but
we can give our own opinions. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, these fellas see, you know, round pegs fitting into round holes, then that's all we need, isn't it? You know.
I remember seeing an interview with Steve Walsh on the Everton show about a month ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I thought he spoke really well. I was really impressed with the way he talked about the way he's going about his business and his thoughts on the game and the young talent out there. And I just thought to myself, it'd be great to speak to him directly and just get his thoughts on other things. He's got a vast array of scouting network now.
He's in charge of them, you know.
Was brought in the other day
from like Chelsea or something like that.
I can't remember the name, and we sound bad because we should do our research.
I know.
Someone brought in Academy, and I can't remember who it was. Someone tweet us and let us know if you can be bothered. But yeah, he's got scouts here and everywhere. He just spoke really well, Mark.
He's in charge of that network, isn't he? You know, scouts. But we're pinching the best scouts in the land, you know. It's just all
a network.
Fantastic.
It's a model.
It's stealing a march on everybody else, which is why I love the Luckman signing so much, because it just went in. He's the best player in League One.
It's the model which since it's been put in place, we're kind of reaping the rewards now.
Yeah,
and in the future we will hopefully do that. So yeah, going back to players being linked, I'm confident that we've got the right people, the right fit for Everton. As you said before, we can get rid of eight, but if we bring in two or three that are going to make an instant impact or a 10 times better player than albeit.
Absolutely, and these players are going to fit right into Koeman's system that he wants to play, you know, and the way he wants to play. That's why you have scouts, isn't it? You know, and not just that, to get the right quality of person in as well. You don't want any arsehole troublemakers who are going to rock the boat or, you know, have an opinion by all means, but don't, you know, not to be disruptive for disruptive sake, to getting the right players in.
Yeah.
And that's what the best scouts do, you know, mentally as well.
So what about the man you just quickly mentioned then, Wayne Rooney? That, it's not going away, that one, is it?
No, it's not. And it's like, seems more and more concrete, if that's possible, without anything being, no shirts held up or anything. Rooney seems to be a target of Koeman's for the summer, doesn't he? Seems open to coming back. There's even talk of United not even asking for a transfer fee, you know, and Everton, I don't know. I think they're desperate to get a £300,000 a week player off the books, aren't they? You know, that's never. I can't be. And a player who's not really playing that much as well. You know, it's not a long term model for them, is it? For that to carry on. So I would think Rooney. It's a legitimate point. Would he get into the team right now? He would, of course. But there's so much quality behind Lukaku right now, he would fit in. But then that would mean Ross Barkley maybe missing out, who's in the form of his life. I would have Rooney all day long, to be honest. We need this mentality at the club.
I just think his overall future might be back at Everton, and that's bit part player, bit part coach, bit part mentor, getting involved in some coaching at lower level.
Yeah.
Like Franny Jeffers, what he's doing at the moment and things like that.
Yeah.
Bit of a casual thing. You know, we've said this time, I've said this before, for me, if Ronald Koeman sees a place back at Everton for Wayne Rooney, then I'm happy with that. I'll prepare to let past thoughts be gone and past opinions, and I did have a lot of ill feeling towards him at one point, but I had a lot of ill feeling towards the club at one point as well, because I didn't know who to believe as to what happens. Kissing doesn't help.
No.
Same age as me though, Rooney, and you know, I've done stupid things in my time.
You'd hope that people would forgive and forget.
You'd like to think that, being captain of your country, captain of Manchester United, and having three kids, and becoming—he is a different person when you see him behind the camera. He's obviously matured.
Yeah,
and he's bringing his kids up
as Evertonians as well.
You'd think he'd come back as a role model to some, and he'd sell an awful lot of shirts. Which people are like, "Well, Everton sells shirts, but Everton don't really sell shirts, do they?"
No.
When we sign Lukaku, other clubs make transfer fees back on revenue and retail sales because of names. Wayne Rooney would sell shirts even if he was only playing
twice a month.
Because
there's that many people fascinated with him and about him, and you know, he's got a lot of fans. Rooney, I think, would also feel invigorated by the move himself. he's gone a bit stale at United. He still can play. Good God, he can still play. You know, and he can still contribute on the pitch. So I think an invigorated Rooney, with, you know, back at his home club, a club on the up, not just, we're not meandering. It's not like he's 38 and he's just come in, you know, for a bit of a Ginola type signing. You know, this is a club that's on the up. We're on an upward curve. He's joining the club at the right time, I think. But also, we need his mentality on that pitch. We need his drive. We need a winner, someone who's, and you know, sadly for us, he didn't do it with us. He'd have to do it. But if we are getting him back, we're getting him back. But he's a trophy laden career, and you can never get enough players with that mentality in the squad.
That's it. A winner mentality is priceless, and he's won it all. He's seen it all, and he would hopefully come back and have a part to play. But then I do believe, in terms of the staff, the future, he would be a part of that as well. So it's not just bringing him back to play. He's not going to come back and you're going to give him £200,000 a week. That's not going to happen.
No.
They may offer him 80, 100, 120 grand. Yeah, which,
he's
you know what I mean? It's still not bad money if you can get it, but he's a multi-millionaire.
He has to understand he's never going to earn that wage his all his career, you know.
He either comes back to Everton. I can't see him. He's not going to go to China, full stop.
No,
he's not going to probably go to America. Maybe not now.
His kids are young. They're in school. It's important to him.
Exactly.
You know, I'm thinking, Morales is the same, you know, his kid's just been born, hasn't he? You know,
and he's happy.
Doesn't want to leave because it's important to some of these lads that the families are happy, and if they're happy, why are they seeking to move?
It's not like Wayne Rooney'd have to move out.
He hasn't got to move anywhere, has he?
All signs point towards a return to Everton for Wayne Rooney. It won't sit well with everyone. It won't please everyone.
No, but it's going to steal, again, like the stadium, it's going to grab people's attention to what's happening at Everton. People are going to go, oh, Rooney back at Everton. Oh, you know,
in terms of he could opt for a lucrative deal elsewhere, he could earn, you know, it's probably £700,000.
He's going to get a few quid at Everton. Yeah, of course.
We'll ruin his life over
China
there.
China, well, you literally just disappear off the face of the planet. No one's interested, no one's asked. It's a league far, far away.
And I think America's too much of an upheaval for his young family. So, the all factors considered, I truly believe Wayne Rooney will return to Everton.
Definitely.
And I hope he has a part to play.
It's when he's holding up a Fenerbahce shirt in front of a raved Turkish crowd.
But, you know, even if he just comes on to keep hold of the ball when we're in the Champions League final and the game's won, you know, even if he just comes and does that.
Hasn't even contributed to
his game. I've got a bit ahead of myself then. But you don't know, do you? Even if, you know, come back, Ross Barkley won't play, Lukman won't get a look in. He will, because Koeman knows how to do it the right way. He's not just going to bomb kids out because Wayne Rooney comes back. But it's a romantic tale, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't sit well with everyone. Didn't probably sit well with me at one point. But
he's a very good player, and we can't get enough of them at the club. You know, we've got rid of shite. We've got room for a lot of good players to come in now and challenge others for the, you know, competition for places has to be. So if Rooney's in the squad, you know, then the likes of Lukman and the likes of Barkley, they're going to up their game even more because they know there's a ready-made player coming on who can take their place, and not only take their place but keep them out the team for 6-7 games, you know what I mean? So it's all good. You need competition for places, and Rooney, at least, without anything else, will provide that, you know. So I'm all for it, mate, and I'm all for the limelight that it'll grab. Everton, you know, Machiri's all about people noticing Everton, isn't he, and wondering what's going on, and that fits in with what we're trying to do with the ground and everything, and get Everton back on the map, gets people's heads turning. And I really think there's going to be 3 or 4 signings that'll turn people's heads anyway, do you know what I mean, as to what's going on. Positive.
There you go. Good way to end it, that. We went a bit off the rail when we were talking about international football and the derby.
You gotta let the hatred out somewhere. You can't be nice.
You gotta get the fume out. But no, I agree with what you say there. There'll be others that won't. But let us know your opinions.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, when are we back? We're back for the derby.
Back for the derby on Saturday. It's a small turnaround for us.
If we win, we won't do a podcast. We'll just scream for 90 minutes.
So if you want to listen to that,
on the show,
it's going to be like an Argentinian football commentator.
Yeah, or may just press record whilst we're in the pub.
Yeah,
afterwards, and just
see what happens.
Let ourselves go. But we'll be back. Yeah, we've got Liverpool. We've got United. We've got Leicester.
Yeah,
and we'll fit one in at some point in between.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. Yeah,
don't forget the technical bits as well. We appreciate all feedback. You can find us on Acast, you can find us on iTunes. Obviously follow us on Twitter at Everton Fan Focus 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a shout out.
Any final thoughts, Mark?
Just that I want Everton to really go into Liverpool with all the confidence that they got from that they're getting from the last couple of games and all, and the confidence in our play. Really show what we're about, really show what the club's about now, and stick one on them, and then everybody's right behind what we're trying to do. That's not what I want to say, but
you know, there you go.
Let's just beat them.
There's your team talk. Let's have them Saturday.
Fucking yikes. Ta-da.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.